Eyes on Target.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Debastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my producer and co-host, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole.
Hi, Cindy.
I know that you were sharing that you've been getting some little signs and kind of some psychic stuff happening.
Yes, apparently I'm getting tested.
Yes, you're getting tested, that's for sure. And sometimes, you know, when you first get these abilities, and of course you've been hanging around me long enough, so the universe after a while starts saying, well, anybody this interested in this, let me see if we can get them to be more psychic. So they usually give you some little, you know, benign things. They're not scary, but some things that happen that you see something and, you know.
Yeah.
For
you
instance,
know what I
can you describe some of the things that you just told me before the show started?
Well, yeah, sure. Well, okay, well, first of all, you missed the tail end of it because then we started going live. But Lisa said, just to tell you that she absolutely hates it when she's, like, sleeping and she knows that somebody's there watching her sleep and she purposely doesn't open up her eyes because she doesn't want to see anything standing there watching her sleep.
Well, neither do I. So that never happens to me. I don't let that happen.
Oh,
you know,
my God. But anyway,
I draw healthier boundaries where they're allowed and where they're not allowed, you know?
Well, I tell her these things. I tell her to just tell them to go away, but she just doesn't listen. She just keeps her eyes shut. But,
well, she was psychic since she was little, and that's why it probably happened to her when she was a little girl.
Yeah.
And that gets us scared. You know, really, you're a different generation than I am, and the universe is testing some of you younger than they tested me. Remember, I was already like 41, so I knew
yeah.
I hadn't lost my mind yet, you know what I mean? But I didn't have that. That could be scary. She could kind of tell the universe she doesn't like that, and they're usually pretty cooperative and get that experience out of there.
Well, honestly, if it was up to her, she wouldn't get any information, so.
You know, she can pretty much say she's not ready for it now, and normally it will shut down. They just really do test us. I mean,
we're not going to tell her that because then she's not going to embrace her gifts.
Right, and again, they'll just keep laying low for a while, and then they'll test her again. Maybe this week she's ready, you know what I'm saying? It's really how it works. I mean, with me, at first I thought it was maybe going a little crazy, but I had realized already for about a year when I was finishing a particular play that it didn't come from me. So
yep.
I kind of got the idea that something was being channeled. So then when the dead people would sort of talk and let me know information and they were pretty funny and helpful, I let it in. But I did have one little warning to the universe at that point that I didn't want to see evil. So as long as they didn't show me evil, I would be okay with psychic abilities. About 10 years passed, and I said, well, now, God, I want greater enlightenment. And, boy, I heard the voice of the universe say, well, now you got to see evil. And let me tell you, for the next month, the readings in the vortexes I opened were pretty scary.
Oh,
and
wow.
Even for, I was explaining to these women I was doing a tarot card party to, and all of a sudden I said to her, excuse me, but I have to put my stockings on my sweater because I know I'm going to open a vortex. And hell is very cold. It's not hot. And
mm-hmm.
This man's obviously a very big pedophile, and he wants to speak to you. And she started crying hysterically because she had been a young girl raped when she was 9. And she couldn't believe that she walks in the room and I'm like, no, it's going to get cold in here. And all of a sudden it felt like a morgue in the room. And
oh my
I
God.
Said, it's only to let us know that he's in the room, that he can't hurt us, that he's very locked away. But he has to tell you the truth because everyone told you you made up the story when you were nine. And that you repressed it so much and tried to think that maybe you were crazy, but he's under obligation to say it's that what he did was true. And then I said some things, and I said some other not nice things about him, and he began to curse me out in the room. I mean, literally curse me out. And,
oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, buddy, you thought you were in hell. It goes about 10 notches lower, and you're going to go there for a while. Keep cursing me out. Just keep on doing it. Then he was, like, threatening. He's going to hurt me. You have locked so far away. You can't come anywhere near me. You think I don't know this by now? And then all of a sudden, the room got really warm. I said, oh, they just sucked him somewhere really low. And I didn't hear one more word from him.
Good.
So that's why I said sometimes it can be scary, but usually the universe doesn't
well,
do
honestly,
that.
Like, all week I was like, it was really, really weird because I literally went from being okay to not being okay. Where like, also like, I woke up and I was like very, very sad. And then, you know, all of a sudden I was like very, very hostile. And like I'm not PMSing. My emotions were literally all over the board. Like yesterday I completely flipped out about something so trivial and small to the point of where I was like literally crying for an hour and a half.
Well, first of all, one of my clients who's very into astrology was here today, and she also happens to be a psychologist, and she was saying that there's certain solar flares and things in the universe. See, I'm not very attuned with this, okay?
Okay.
That are really bringing out bizarre behavior and some unusual behaviors.
Yes,
and
I don't
very
plot.
Moody and very moodiness. So you might be very much attuned to some of those solar flares going on out there.
Well, that would make actually a lot of sense because I've been very, very into, and again, I don't even know why. For some reason, I started last week studying the cosmos and the universe and like...
right at the moment when the cosmic flares are here.
I did. All of a sudden, I just had this like, because I was always like very, very into like documentaries and this and that. So like a few weeks ago, I was like into Egypt, you know, and then... after that, I started looking into Buddhism and things of that nature. And then out of the blue, I read something from Deepak Chopra. And it was like The Secret to the Universe or something like that. And basically what he had done was he had broken everything down, you know, spiritually into our actual DNA and into our actual biology. As far as like how our cells are actually autonomous, thinking, you know, and alive. So I was like, well, that's interesting or whatever. And then I took that to the even next step of, like, nanobacteria, and that led me into the universe, and I literally have been stuck on Stephen Hawking and, you know, Sagan and anything that has to do with the cosmos I've been reading and looking at lately.
Okay, so now you're wondering why this is happening to you. And isn't it funny that that woman just came today to tell me what the solar flares and everything that are doing so I could answer your question today? Because otherwise, I wouldn't have had a clue how we're going to connect all this. And again, anybody reading spiritual books, the universe usually shows us within a day or two the truth or untruth of what we might be reading. Because not all spiritual books are truth. Sometimes, you know, I've had to throw out a couple of them here because I didn't want anybody to think after I died I believed that nonsense. But the universe will either show you the truth or untruth of what you've just read. And guidance comes that way. Like one of my clients that I had today for a reading, and you know, one of her biggest clients just sold sort of this newspaper to somebody else, and she didn't really want to mention the name of the newspaper. And then I go to read Newsday 2 seconds later, and it's there and open the page right there, and I now know what it was. But I'm saying,
yeah.
Well, she didn't want to give me the answer, but I found it out myself. So,
yeah,
you know, usually if you're opening vortexes, expect some unusual things to occur.
Okay.
And it's just to show you. It's like, you know, when you hear a word for the first time that you never heard in your entire life, and then for the next month that word is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that word was always everywhere. You just never noticed it. And so what they're trying to do is this has always been around you, and you've never noticed it. Now that you're noticing it, they're going to show you it every day, and they say, see, it was always here for you to access and see. So it's a little bit of testing. If you're going to keep reading spiritual books, you're going to have to accept that you're going to open vortexes.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Well, like I said, it was more or less kind of like, I don't know, I just had this curiosity that I've never really had before, and I just kept, like, looking into it. I was watching, like, a lot, like I said, just, like, a lot of the documentaries, and Lisa and I actually started talking about it one day, you know, to the point where, like, I was, like literally coming up with my own theories to everything, and I was just like, well, it's got to be this, and it's got to be that, and coming up with my own answers, you know, based on the things that I was learning. And, of course, you know, she was placating me a lot of the time. She was just like, I don't know how the hell you do this, but okay, you know. But, and, you know, and that was fine. But, like, I was making it, like, my own, like theories and hypotheses about things. And I'm guessing that my overflow here, thanks to your friend telling about solar flares and everything, is pretty much telling me that I was on point with what I was thinking, so.
Right, and just keep going, because the universe always, always shows us the truth or untruth. Even if you're reading a spiritual book and something's not ringing true to you, but you really don't know why, put a little question mark down, and within a day or two, the universe will tell you the truth or untruth of it. So if something, you know, your gut just says, no, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's how it works. Because, I mean, when you're first opening the spiritual vortex, I mean, I read thousands of books. In the beginning, I didn't know truth from untruth. I couldn't recognize one or the other, but as I began to read more, then I was more discerning and saying, nope, I don't think that's true. I think that's incorrect. I think it's wrong. And even when I read books on psychology now or whatever, I'll know there's certain incorrect things, and I'll know why. But when I first studied psychology, I wouldn't have a clue as to why they're wrong. So, again, some of it's just question what's out there and trust your own instincts, and you're being guided. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think a lot of people that are listening on our show probably are getting some similar experiences. And I did want to add that next week we're not having a show, and I have a client who's, she's the 516 all the way at the bottom, 945, and she can relate to this, because we've had so many calls for readings, and I have some office staff now, and there's been a few double bookings, making life very confusing, because everybody calls me, and anybody listening to the show, if you want a reading, please don't give just your first name. Somehow they think they're going to trick me. They're going to just go for it. So we have 10,000 Marys calling. And after a while, who remembers which Mary is which? So we all think it's a different Mary or the same Mary, and it's a different Mary. So please give your first and last name, and please don't call from your cell phone. Leave us that number. Then the next time it's your home number, and the next time you're emailing me from in one email and then another email, because we don't know if we have 40 different calls or 400.
But,
so
yep.
The volume has been so amazing here that even with office staff, it's just getting more confusing. So anyway, the reason we're not having a show next August 16th is because this woman who was booked for an 8 o'clock time slot for like 2 months waiting was double booked out, and I didn't have the heart to tell her she'd have to wait 2 months for a reading. So I had to put her at 7 o'clock. Now, the client who's going to speak to us now just emailed me saying, are we still on for August 27th, 6:15? And I said, oh, it was that, and I'm not going to name her name because she'll tell you, that one and not the other one. So now I realize we double booked with the same name. So, again, this is getting confusing for us, so I'm asking people, please give me your last names. It doesn't always work because I have about 10 clients with the same first and last name, but it does help a little bit.
Well, how about this? How about just say something that will allow you to identify who exactly you're getting?
Right, because that's why I said that's what's been the confusion. Now, she's right on, she's 516-945, and I'm hoping even if I answer her questions thoroughly tonight, she'll get the answer she needs anyway.
Oh, okay. Well,
so let's put her on, and she'll identify herself.
All right, hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Nicole. Hi, Cindy. It's Jane.
Hello,
how are you?
And your name is? Because our client
Jane.
Would like to, Jane. Okay, Jane. Now,
okay.
Jane.
And I also emailed you confirming 3:30. That works, right?
Oh, 3:30 works. Good. That's fine. That's good.
So,
Thank you so much.
I still want my reading, even though I have a question. That's
great.
Okay.
I would love to speak to you, too, and that's why I said, let me just make sure I get it. And now you can know, Jane, the confusion, because we have like 10,000 people with the same phone numbers and not even very close phone numbers with one digit off. So, of course, all of us speed reading here. So I know you've moved, and remember, I don't know if I told you, but I had a dream about you and I jumping over Oyster Bay, a fence over Oyster Bay into Huntington. And then when you got your apartment in Huntington, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So tell me about your experience in your new home.
It's very temporary. You get what you pay for. The rents are crazy on Long Island.
Yes,
and
of course.
Really tiny. I have bruises all over my shins from tripping over things. And I had to throw out my other couch. It was too old to sell and wasn't good enough. Yeah, I mean, it was good enough for me. And I wanted to ask you about moving out of state because it's still on my mind. And
okay,
maybe
yes.
This is best.
You kind of God's way of saying if you're going to stay in New York, you're going to have a shoebox to live in.
That's what I've got.
Yeah, and the move looks really promising. But you're a professor. Are you trying to apply to schools where you want to live to see?
I am. I do that part time. That's part of it's just part of what I do. I have the business that I'll talk to you about on Monday the 27th that I'm working on as well. I'm trying to make that portable.
Right, and you're also a person who specializes in nutrition and everything. So,
right.
If trying to get a little bit so you'd have some income when you moved would be important.
Yeah.
Because you're a little bit of a worrier. You're one of our OCD worriers that we have all the time. Everybody's an OCD worrier, but it gets worse if we're under stress.
Yep.
So if you were to just move and not really know how you're going to pay your bills, you might have a breakdown on the way to that.
I'm trying to do something about it now.
Right.
So,
and in terms of getting your resume out there and things,
getting that done as one income, and then getting the business going in a different way, so that I can it's portable, sort of what you're doing in a way.
Right. Could you have phone clients and things that don't matter where you are?
That's what I'm trying to accomplish. Yeah, I have a couple of appointments with some so-called professionals to work on my website with me a little bit. And
websites
are
crucial, by the way.
Yeah,
they're not
just
something that's auxiliary. I mean, my website is something that, because I have a blog on it, and I always recommend to people, if you want to start a business, you have to have a blog. And you have to look at current events in nutrition, say, because you're a nutrition, and if they're commenting a certain diet, you have to blog on it so that anybody hitting that particular topic will get you. And if you do it enough, the search engines start picking you up and other websites start picking your articles up, and suddenly you start going high on the Google search engines. It's a little bit of hard work in the beginning.
Yeah.
Now I did it so well, I have no time to blog anymore. I get upset because I wish I had more time to blog, but obviously it did what it was supposed to do. So let me just look at your cards in terms, and you sound very good, by the way. And I know you have a little bit, you have an autoimmune disorder also. And how is that going?
It's weird because you get accustomed to get accustomed to a different level of ability, I guess, physical ability.
human beings are very adaptable. They get very adaptable. No, this is a very, very, very good year opening up for you. You're right on the you're just about ready to break through. Some of this budgeting of money will be over. Once you build it and even putting most of your energies into your website and getting as many clients as you could on the phone would be really, really helpful so that when you move, you don't lose those as well. That you have your own autoimmune disorder, are you trying to concentrate on nutrition with that too? Because you can become an expert in a certain thing too.
You can, because I think that a lot of people are in a lot worse shape than me.
Absolutely.
With the same so-called disorder, I don't even know what to call it anymore. But I keep myself posted on what's going on, and I think that it could be a lot worse. So.
Right, and this is you. And are you thinking of getting a roommate when you first move? Because I'm seeing that you could maybe move with somebody or.
No,
a good friend. Do you have a good friend?
I have a very good friend down there who's offered me her spare room for a month or so.
That's what I see here.
If I need it, yeah.
And I'm seeing that I would advise you to do that for a month or so.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Get yourself settled in, because that will take some of the stress off of you. It looks like you should be able to move by a year from now, if at the latest.
Oh, okay, because I was hoping for the winter, actually.
Right, that's what it looks, actually looks very much around before January or very close afterwards. So
this is for 2013, though. That would be
right,
before.
Right, 2013.
Okay, that's what I kind of have in my head to do. That's, you know, timing wise, and I was hoping that I wouldn't be I wouldn't have to stay with my friend for too long because that could be annoying.
Yeah, no, I know, of course, but it doesn't look like it's going to be annoying. It looks like she's actually going to enjoy you there. Health
okay.
looks very good here. You moving looks like that's where you're going to find a soulmate, too. So it's really, your whole life is shaken up. There's love in the picture. There's you feeling strong. You know, you have to overcome your own fears because the obsessive-compulsive gets worse during change.
Okay.
So you're going to have to stop what-ifing everything. You're going to have to figure out, this is my plan. I have this underway, and then go forward because otherwise you'll just get paralyzed with fear.
Yeah, go for it then, in other words. Yeah,
go for it, because first of all, you want to go to Florida, I think you were saying?
Yes.
Florida has a lot of older people, and, you know, the nutrition, if you can begin to specialize even in older people and things like that, start figuring out where you're going, who would need your services, who could benefit, and, you know, come up with that. You usually, it's more a question of marketing for older souls. You're not doing the best marketing of yourself. If anybody could see Jane, she's a tall, beautiful blonde who you want to know what she's eating. You take one look at her and you go, whatever she's eating, I want to eat. This girl is beautiful. So anybody else with her body, her face, you know, would have marketed themselves to be like on the cover of every magazine with her nutrition.
Thank you.
You're not marketing yourself properly.
I know that. Yeah, I know. I'm redoing my website. I ripped the old one apart. So
and that's usually what we have to do. And if you can really do that, by time January comes, you should be getting a lot of clients and a lot of hits. I mean, that's why when I was talking randomly before, when I said we're getting so many phone calls, and they're coming from the website, like in the drove, like hundreds of calls and emails. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Generated itself, but again, it took a little while to build it. And then, of course, word of mouth in any industry is really important. Mm-hmm. So the word of mouth gets it out there, too. But you have really good cards. And when we speak on the 27th, I want you to concentrate on how you're going to market yourself, how you're going to get this, you know, off the air. But Florida looks extremely good for you. Again, God keeps giving you, so you're banging into things to show you, look, New York may not be affordable right now for you. And there's no reason
that
you should
enjoyable
be...
enjoyable here, yeah.
And paying the kinds of rents you are to live like that is not... You know, there's other people rent houses in Florida for what you pay, you know.
I know.
But your friend is something that's going to be good. Nothing bad's in your cards. It looks very, very good. A little bit of budgeting money right now. That's going to continue for a while.
Boxes.
Well, again, don't even bother unpacking them.
Yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't know what to do with them. But I like that you said that there might be love in the air in Florida. It seems like that it's nothing's going to happen until I move. So that's.
Well, sometimes God takes everything out from under us because He really wants love and abundance for us. And tries to figure out, how am I going to get you stuck from where you are? And really, everything keeps getting worse here for you instead of better. Only God could do that. If He really wanted you here, things start getting better. They don't start getting worse.
They're tolerable, but just barely, just so I can,
it's tolerable because you know you're getting out of here. I think if you thought there was no hope, I think that might be something. And always, you know, people like the devil, they know, and that makes them sometimes secure. But God's making the devil, you know, so intolerable that you'd rather have change.
When I think about it, my heart calms down when I think about living there. So I'm hoping that that my instincts are accurate, and I hope that there's a guy under the age of 80 for me there.
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
Well,
alrighty.
Anyway, I'm going to speak to you on the 27th. We always love to hear you. The 27th
at
3:30. Okay, I love
you
so.
Bye.
Love you. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Okay, Nicole, I see you've gone to Tennessee.
I have gone to Tennessee.
Okay.
And we are going to speak to Vicky over there. And she's been asking God and the angels for love.
Wow.
And she has been making some joyful changes, as she referred to them.
Wow.
And she wants to know, Cindy, what you can tell her about him, because she's getting some signs and she thinks that she's getting some messages about this one specific person. But I think she's looking for a little bit of confirmation here as to whether or not this is really the guy. So we're going to speak to Vicky in Tennessee.
Hello,
Hello
Vicky.
Cindy. Hi, Vicky. Well, I can't believe that you're asking God for love, because when I was channeling a title for my book, and, of course, the voice of God said, well, it has to be Grant Me a Higher Love, because love comes from God. So you're a very smart girl to know that God will bring you that love. And you have the most wonderful five-year period opening up in which love is coming. You're supposed to have a love that's a real soulmate, heart, soul, mind, body, and will be a marriage for you. The guy you're thinking of, can you tell us a little bit about him? Because I'll see if it looks like the guy that's here.
Well, he's divorced for about 4 or 5 years. He has 2 girls. He's a businessman, and he's a cowboy.
Ooh, a businessman cowboy. We like that here. He's been hurt. He's a lot like you. He's a good person. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
And he's a person who fell for the princess that became the beast in some ways. He didn't know what he signed on for in his past relationship. And you know, you've had that experience too, not quite sure, oh man, this person I thought was somebody else. And he's a little afraid too. Have you let him know that you like him?
No, I don't think so. I don't think
he... Okay, because he's not a mind reader. And,
right.
And, you know, you're a little afraid of commitment. There's a commitment phobia card here, and you've gotten it. And in keeping love sort of in our head and somebody we're drawn to, but we're not actually taking steps forward, is almost our fear getting in the way. How long have you been drawn to this man, by the way?
I've been drawn to him for probably about 6 months.
Okay. And do you see him frequently?
No, I don't.
Okay, because for you, he's a person who definitely is intrigued by you, but he's a little afraid of relationships as well because he's been hurt. When you see him, does he know you're single and available?
I'm not sure.
Okay, and
I'm not
again,
sure. I have.
Those are the things I always tell people. You got to figure out some way to let somebody know you're single and available, because the guys have been complaining to me that they can't read women anymore. They all seem unavailable or taken or lesbians, because they can't tell a lesbian, and Nicole will laugh about them because they're so hot and beautiful, and the men go, I don't know what they, I ask them out and they don't want to go out with me. And then I realize they're lesbians. We don't know what women want and if they're drawn to us. You might want to let him know that you're single in some way, but not saying, look, I'm single, are you available? It's kind of working that into a conversation in some way, because he doesn't know how you feel about him at all. You
okay.
know, he likes you. He thinks you're a nice person. How do you run into this man?
I met him online.
Okay, so you've never actually met him in person?
No, he asked me out twice, and one time I was moving, and another time I honestly just didn't get it until after the conversation was over. So I'm thinking, I get from him, he doesn't think I'm interested.
He doesn't think you're interested. He thinks he's not sure. He can't read between the lines with you. So, you know, anytime anybody's been talking to someone on the internet for 6 months, it's usually time you have to meet in person, because it's very hard to even figure out who this person is unless you really know he is who he says he is. And, you know, a lot of people are kind of naive. I remember my dad was 89 on the internet, sending pictures of my brothers when they were 40 and had about 7 girlfriends online. They all thought he was 40 years old. You know, nobody knew. And I'm like, until you meet this guy, I mean, he is a little afraid of relationships. He's a little afraid of commitment. And so it's kind of better off to at least get that date going and see what's there before you even start building too much hopes on someone you haven't actually met. Because chemistry is important, too. And if anything, he's serving a purpose to make you know because that you are wanting a relationship, and it was kind of safe because internet romances, you don't have to, like, change your life at all. You're still living in your own space, and it's not changed anything. True love changes everything, and this is kind of was a safe way of getting you back in the waters of love. And did it help you know that now you want someone?
Yes, because I was thinking, oh, I wish I had acted more interested. And so I kind of pushed it aside, and then I get on there, and I'm talking to different people. And after you write to someone, then it'll pop up different profiles that are similar, and his always pops up at the top. So I'm like, this is a sign?
Yes, it's a sign. And again, what I tell people is when you're just sort of having an internet relationship where you don't meet someone, if it goes on too long, it really becomes a narcissistic love affair with ourselves. We don't know who this person is.
Right.
And so we don't want to stay in the, we're writing all this stuff to somebody, we don't know who they are. That's almost like a pen pal. It becomes not a reality. You know, people always look good on paper. Actually, you know, emailing and things like that is, you know, very soulful. You write from the soul and the heart. But, you know, if nothing else, this man has opened your heart to the fact that you are getting ready for love. And in taking that step forward, I mean, it's very hard to do readings on internet relationships because they're not always who they say they are. And,
true.
You know, he might say he wants love, and then, you know, you go out, and after 3 months, he's running away from love because commitment phobics do that. But you're better off to know that now than to, like, a year and a half going on until you can't wait to meet. I mean, I had one woman say she was doing this long, you know, and where does he live, by the way, in relationship to you?
About 10 minutes from me.
Okay, good. He's close because that's good. The ones that are really funnier, like one client of mine from New York, she's doing this, like, email thing for a year and a half with this guy in Minneapolis, and you know, she's going to see him in like 3 days, and I'm giving her a reading. I'm going, he's crazy, this guy. He's not who you think he is. No, he's one. I said, you'll go there, but this guy's a nut. And she went there, and she spent all this money, and as soon as she got to the airport, he's throwing up. He can't deal with this. This is too much for him. He wants her to go home. And I said, yeah, these guys can do long-distance things a lot, but when you actually meet them, they may get scared. That's why he's only 10 minutes away. Why don't you drop him a line and say, you know, and try to move it forward yourself? Say, hey, okay, how about that coffee we were going to have? You know, casual.
Okay, I can do that.
And see, and if he doesn't pick up on it, it's a way of commitment phobia because you want to feel that if you say okay to someone to see you, they should want to be jumping through hoops. If you say, you know, meet me tomorrow at 3, they're out front at 1 waiting. You know, you don't want somebody who they say they're going to meet you at 3 and then they have an excuse. That begins to show they're either not ready for love, you know, or they're just commitment phobics. So moving this forward is important for you. And you're also going to be kicking yourself in the head that you didn't at least try. So, I mean, he looks like, you know, somebody well worth pursuing. But again, he's been hurt before. You've been hurt before. So sometimes our hurt gets in the way. Have you made peace with some of your other relationships that didn't work out?
Okay. Yes.
Good. And, you know, you're definitely going to have a husband, a very loving man, a very good 5-year period opening up. But it starts with taking a risk. And sometimes I have to always tell people who are out there in the dating world, sometimes you could have the best first date. You know, you really feel that connection and you know that person felt it too. You can't fake that. And then he never calls or she never calls and you'll go, oh, my God, what did I do wrong? What was it about me? That's a person who's not rejecting you personally. They're really running from a higher love because a higher love demands healing your issues, being a good person. And sometimes that person actually cared enough about you not to bring you into their self-destructive games. So we have to stop taking everything personal. Sometimes it's not about us. People have issues that have nothing to do with us. And that's one of the first steps in having fun and getting out into the world. And again, do you tell people you're looking for a committed relationship?
Yes. He and I both are looking for the same thing. Yes.
Okay. And that's important because I would advise you to just, even when you get off the phone here, put that, you know, that little email note to him, you know, send it out with a little sense of humor and see what happens. It takes courage to do that. I mean, he's scared, she's scared. You know, with people, like one person goes forward, the other goes back. The fact that you didn't see the email to afterwards is sometimes the universe saying he's a bit of a commitment phobic and we didn't want you to get hurt. So if it was just you didn't see it, then he should have asked you right away. Well, okay, how about next week? Do you know what I'm saying? You can't keep going on, well, in the nebulous future. People who want to start a relationship want to start one. They're not saying next month, next year. So
yeah.
those are the little red flags that, you know, you should really want someone who says, oh, my God, she says she wants to see me. How about tomorrow? You know, you want that. And it looks very promising for you to move this forward. And try not to be so afraid because there's a lot of fear in your picture. Are you aware that you're a little bit afraid of love?
I am aware of it, yes. When I said I didn't get it, we were actually talking on the instant messenger, and he said, why won't you meet me? And I thought he meant the first time. Why didn't I meet him the first time? And then when I finished my conversation, I said, I think he was asking me now, why won't you meet me? I want to meet you. I just didn't get it until after the conversation was over. But I just got this feeling he thought, okay, I'm done with this.
Well, again,
and then that's when, like a month later, he kept popping up.
Well, because what happens is the online dating stuff gets people so aggravated because there's so many commitment phobics on it that, you know, he might have been hurt before by that and just said, okay, I can't do this. Do you know what I'm saying? What people have to do is if things get mixed up and wires get crossed, apologize and say, I misunderstood. Did you do that?
I sent an email letter out. Yes, I did, and said sometimes there's a lot of miscommunication.
And did he respond?
No.
Okay, because even with commitment phobics, they do this. They sometimes, you know, he might just be, I saw a lot of fear. He's been hurt before by the princesses that become the beast. So what happens is people start losing their patience. So, you know, just drop him one more email. You're not responsible if he doesn't respond, but at least you know you gave it another try. And at that point, you can move on. And, you know, be a little bit, you know, funny and light about it and say, how about that, what, you know, cup of coffee, whatever he offered you to have. And if he doesn't respond, know that he's really a hurt person and you don't want to, you know, you can't deal with that right now. You know, people have to get over themselves a bit, you know, and unfortunately when people are dating, they get hypersensitive to things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what he is right now. Give it a try. You definitely have love coming. And in doing that, the universe knows that you want love. It just shows to God, hey, I did what I could do. I'm not responsible that this didn't work. And then, you know, we have more than one soulmate. We have about 30 of them. And what could be a soulmate and what was meant to be and what happens is free will. And, you know, I saw him. He's a very damaged man in terms of being hurt in love. So sometimes we don't want to be the one who pays the price that somebody else broke his heart. You know what I'm saying? That becomes a lot on any one person. Well, good luck to you. Can you please let us know what happens after you do this?
I will.
We'd love to hear, you know, and have fun with it. You know, take a little time to think of a witty, nice, fun way to say it. But don't take it personally if he doesn't respond. Because
okay,
at that point, he's just running away afraid. And then the universe will bring you another, you know, good man. But you need to kind of close this chapter first.
Okay.
Good luck to you. And we're going to try to take another caller. I know that Nicole's been working very hard. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us.
All right, Cindy. Thank you very much to Vicki for sharing. All right, and we are actually... What's that, Cindy?
Wasn't she sweet?
Oh, she was adorable. I loved her question, though, too, because I love it when people want love and they're actually being proactive into finding it. And, you know, even though, you know, as you said, you know, she was, you know, a little bit afraid and this and that, she was still taking the plunge, which is the important thing. You know, she was kind of facing that fear, which is good.
Absolutely. And
you
know? See you screened Denise, I think.
I did. I screened Denise, who was in Long Island. Now, she called about 2 weeks ago, Cindy, and if you recall, a friend of hers and as well as her, you know, they both called into the show. She's calling you. She needs a little bit more guidance, but she wants to give you some updates, Cindy, because apparently something that you said in your last reading actually came to fruition. So here we go with
Denise.
Oh,
I love to hear that. Thank you, Denise, for calling in.
Hello, Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for sharing this stuff with us because, you know, we like to hear what goes on. So tell me, refresh our listeners what was discussed and tell us what happened.
Okay. I had asked you, called in to ask about several loved ones of mine. You had advised me of a grandfather, father, and a younger male who had passed on who were with me. And you did tell me that the younger male, he had said something to the effect that he watches over me and my children, and especially when they're driving, you know, and he's saved from accident.
Right.
Thank
God.
And then I'll owe him when,
yeah,
when,
when
I
you
get...
die and you hear what he has to say and shows you, hey, look what I saved the day of.
Yes. Well... I just wanted to tell you, I mean, I spoke with you, I think that was, of course, it had to have been a Thursday, but then my son was in an accident just this past Friday.
Oh, boy.
And in that accident, you did, I mean, you came to mind, you brought my uncle to mind, and, I mean, I was so taken aback, even when I, you know, told other people of my reading with you on the radio, and then what had happened. I hadn't advised you, though, that while we were on the radio a couple of weeks ago, my daughter, I have an older daughter, and she was also on the radio. She was listening in. And when you had advised about the accident and what he had saved someone, one of them from, she had been in a terrible accident several years ago, and she actually... You know, she says, Mommy, she says, I just got such a chill over me. And she started crying. She had she was born after he had passed away.
Wow.
But, you know, I don't really understand how all this happens, but I did want to share with you the accident that just happened last Friday, and it did make me truly believe that,
somebody,
you know,
watches over. And it's funny because... Sometimes people say, did you know an accident was coming? I said,
yes.
They usually see that for some reason your son may not be driving as good as he should be.
Okay.
And that they, you know, sometimes want them to slow down or not text message or not doing something. And they can't keep preventing accidents. They eventually have to, like, they sort of have to get in an accident, but
right.
Keep it from being more deadly in
right.
The future. And that these are like a little bit of wake-up calls.
Right.
And that, you know, the Earth is an extremely dangerous place. And to be afraid of everything is probably more rational than not to be.
Right.
But I try to let people know we're not the only ones keeping our children safe. There is a whole support system out there that are guarding over them, watching over them,
well,
helping them. Go ahead, Cher.
I was just going to say he was, you know, driving straight and actually doing everything he was supposed to do. He was on his way to work, and a woman, she made a left-hand turn and slammed into the back of the car, the side passenger on the driver's side, and made the car spin out in the middle of the street. So he was very lucky.
Right, and it isn't really even lucky. It is really, look it. If it's not our due date to die, God pretty much tries to make sure we don't die on a day that's not our due date. Now,
right.
something like 9/11, and I just picked the 9/11 card to share that, you know, all 3,000 people are not supposed to die in the World Trade Center. There are countless people who have come across and told me, who have come from the dead to tell me, I was sick that day. My spirit guides did everything to get me not to go to work. I went to work. Other people have said, I hated my job, and I was getting guidance for months, get another job, and I didn't
right.
get it.
Right.
So sometimes, and those are random acts of karma. God cannot stop what man is supposed to stop. There are other people that could have stopped that happening, you know, from the terrorist to whatever. Things could have, God can't stop free will, but tries. And those are the random acts of karma.
Yes.
For the most part, if it's not our due date to die, the spirits do the best they can. And, you know, I have a lot of clients that survive 9/11, and they have a lot of survival guilt, and they begin drinking. And like one man, I said, hey, look, you know, the angels and spirit guides could only save a certain amount of people that day. And they sort of made split-second calculations. Okay, this father's, you know, an alcoholic, and he's doing more harm than good. We don't know if we let him live, if he's going to get better or worse. But this guy next to here, he's not an alcoholic. Save him. And meanwhile, I said to that man, you became an alcoholic now? The man next to you saying, they should have saved me. Maybe I would have done better. I mean,
yes.
It's how we respond. The universe is always, always trying to protect us. And
right.
sometimes if a person dies in a fluke accident, they just bought a new car and the brakes don't work and they die, that was very close to that person's due date to die. And
right.
that death will save other people from dying because that car is defective and now other people won't die. Also sometimes gives insurance money to a family so that if they just died of illness, this wouldn't have made the other people's lives better.
Right.
So sometimes God's pretty good about giving us, hey, if you got to die this day, at least your family is protected or taken care of. But it's interesting to get a reading. And Nicole was in an accident recently, and I had warned Lisa of it, her girlfriend.
Okay.
And
literally
so,
like 30 days prior.
Wow.
And these are things that... How do they see it? They kind of see some random act happening or whatever. I mean, the universe doesn't really know. God has no clue what's going to happen every minute. If you think God knows everything of what's happening, it's too much free will. There's a lot of free will. But it's almost like certain things begin to, like, show up, and they're just trying to warn or let you know.
Right.
And it just helps to know that you're not the only one who keeps those beautiful children safe.
Right.
That.
Well, also, you know, in your reading, I wasn't quite sure whether you were saying this was something, you know, in the past, him protecting them from accidents, or, you know, even in the future. But
I'm
just,
very reluctant to ever project anything negative, and I've discussed this about women who are pregnant. You know, I do predict certain miscarriages. I did it online with a woman because she was really in a terrible relationship. And I said, look, this soul is an old soul, doesn't want to be born into dysfunction. You're going to lose the baby.
Right.
It's nothing to do with you. And she
right.
lost the baby 2 weeks later. Now, I don't like telling women that I might see something because they can turn around saying it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. You should have never told me that. So
right.
I...
Right.
Sometimes I'm reluctant to ever say things like that
right.
so clearly because I don't want anybody to say, well, you made it happen. You put the idea I'm going to get in a car accident and you made me nervous. So do you understand that? So
yes, I
try to tiptoe around and I say to people, you got to cut me a little slack here. I deliver hard messages.
Yes.
And I try to get you to be aware and in some way so that when it does happen, you're on your knees and say to God, thank you.
Right.
You
yes.
showed me how you work, God, and I thank you.
Yes, and be happy for your blessings. The other thing I wanted to say to you was that, you know, in the circumstances with my loved one who had passed, from what we saw, he was killed in a car accident, and he happened to have been the same age as my son.
Oh, boy. Now, that's... Even, you know, if you die in a car crash, part of your work, we do work up there. If you think you're going to die and it's going to be all, like, fun, they do have a lot of fun up there. If they like to play cards, they're playing poker up there. They have breaks. But their job is, if you died in a car crash, your job is to sit in the car and watch over young people, particularly family members. If you died of an overdose, your job is to help other people not die of overdoses.
Right.
That means you could pop thoughts in their head. That means you can engineer certain circumstances that they see that this is not good. I mean, I speak to at least 20 young people who have died of heroin or oxycodone on a regular basis, and they know that they're not supposed to speak to me when I'm not working. And one day I was out in East Hampton, in a club dancing, and you know, one young guy who died of heroin overdose about a year before that said, and that I predicted his death, by the way, so he came to me and he said, there's a girl going to die tonight when you walk out later. We're doing our best to prevent it, but we don't think that we can. And I said, you're not permitted to talk to me when I'm not working. I don't want to hear about it. Please leave. And then when I went out and she had died, and he just said, we just didn't want you to feel bad. We did our job. We did the best we could.
Right.
And they try, but they can't prevent everything either. They try their best. But, you know, one girl, I told her, you know, your grandpa is the one who protects you when you drive. And she said, I always tell people I see grandpa in the rearview mirror. You know, her deceased grandpa. I said, yeah, he's in that back seat all the time, you know. And she said, at first I thought I was nuts. And then one day he waved at me and I said, I guess he really is in the car.
Right.
And their job is to do that. And in sharing this with other people, it makes us stop saying, what if this happens, what if that happens, what if this, what? We have to say, God, please watch over my children. And I became spiritual when my daughter was 15, and she was an out-of-control teenager. And when she learned to drive, I used to say, she's such a ditz, she's going to die in this. And I used to say, please, God, take all my angels, take everybody. I'm in the house alone. I don't need anybody to protect me. Just send them. And every time she walked in the door safe, I would say, thank you, dear God. And what? She totaled her car, and
yes,
she didn't get a scratch. And I said, oh, it was the best $20,000 I ever spent, because this whole thing cost me $20,000. Like, it's the best $20,000 I ever spent. She
exactly.
never got in any sort of major accident after that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, we have to believe that they're watched over.
Yes.
Otherwise, we can't sleep. We can't function.
That's true also. I did have something else I wanted to,
sure.
to ask of you. I have an upcoming surgery to happen, and I'm a little concerned about that, but I'm also concerned about my job.
Okay, let me tell you. I got the first card I got was the Ace of Swords. In terms of health, very, very good outcome.
Okay.
So that's a very good outcome. Your job's another story. I got a card, you're not loving your job anyway at this
mm-hmm.
point. Sometimes, you know, we like the devil we know, so we stay too long where we don't want to be. And God doesn't ask us to sell our soul for money. And
right.
sometimes God takes a job from us that we probably should leave on our own.
Right.
So you're getting some warnings, this job is not so secure.
Okay.
And that... be a little proactive. You know, I have a lot of clients that have been out of work for like a year or two, and they were warned last year, your job's not secure. Look for another one. And now they haven't found one in a year. I said, well, when I was telling you that, the universe was letting you know there's a job, another job for you. Start looking now. You didn't heed it. You got laid off a year later. Well, the economy's changed and things have shifted. If you had listened a year ago when the universe was telling you, look for something else.
Right.
For you, get through your operation. Try, what kind of a job do you have now? What industry are you in?
I'm in the medical field.
Okay. Do you like that field in general?
Actually, I do. I've been with, not with this company, but I've been in the medical field for about the past maybe almost 20 years. And, you know, it's in the business office. And I do like what I'm doing.
Okay. And again, are you being paid what you should be paid?
No, ma'am.
Okay, that's where you're what Jesus would call the donkey people. We do the work of eight people. Nobody
yes.
normally lays us off. They got to hire eight people when we leave.
Right.
But it's you after a while starting to resent working so hard and not getting paid when you know that company's making a lot of money. Are you where they're making a lot of money?
I'm sure they are.
And they're telling you they can't afford to pay you. It's different during the Depression when people really couldn't afford to pay people. And what they said was, please, I'll pay you what I can now. And if you stay with me, I'll reward you later. And they did. That didn't make people sick.
Right.
Working like a dog and not getting paid what we deserve while you know they're making money is what makes
right.
us stuff down anger. And stuff down anger causes heart disease, autoimmune disorders, cancers. What kind of operation are you getting right now?
It's a diagnostic. They're going in for diagnostic reasons now, and then we'll go from there.
What are they looking for?
Well, to make sure that I don't have a cancer.
Okay. Now.
And
now this is a wake up call to you.
Yes.
You can't keep stuffing down anger. You're an old soul. Old souls are like so nice, and we work so hard, and we're loyal to a fault, and we don't think anger is a valid emotion, so we don't run around angry, but we stuff it down until it makes us sick.
Right.
And right now you're concentrating more on, you know, sometimes we'd rather be sick also than face the fact that people are lying to us and not paying us what we should be paid. It's a little bit of a wake-up call, you know, that maybe you need to examine the fact that you are working too hard for the money, and think about why God would give you a wake-up call like this.
Yeah.
It's just to say, look, if I'm better, I want to be paid what I deserve. Look for another job that will pay you well. Stop thinking it's a bad economy and you should be grateful to have this job.
Do you see me in a different type of...
I see you in the same field, but much, much better paid.
Right.
And again... good people get cancers if they stuff down anger. I want you to write a letter to your, just why you might have a right to be angry at your job and maybe who else in your life is aggravating the hell out of you. You don't give it to anybody, but there's 100 reasons why I have a right to be angry. You might come up with 100.
I'm a vulnerable person, but when you start pushing, that's a problem.
And that's right. And that's actually, sometimes God's just waiting for us to get angry. Do you know that? Sometimes, when my life's gotten really bad and, you know, about 5 years ago, I said, God, what else do you want from me? I took on the dysfunction of a childhood. I've ended. I do everything you want. What the hell do you want from me? And he said, I want you to say life's a gift. And I said, then you make it feel like one. Well, God said, I've been waiting for you to get mad at me. The last 5 years have been wonderful.
Okay.
God was waiting for me to say, enough. I've
okay.
had enough. So sometimes God is just waiting for us to get angry.
And
you
to
know,
say enough. And then and, what? Once it's enough.
And once it's enough, then God says, okay, now you're ready for a good paying job where they treat you with respect and you do the work of one person, you get paid for the work of eight people. How about that?
That sounds wonderful.
That sounds,
please tell me that you see in my card this wonderful man that is just coming to sweep me off my feet.
And that means that you got to get the hell out of that job because God's got to bring you in alignment where this other man is. So when God shakes our entire life out, he's got a better life for us than we could ever imagine. And
okay.
that's why the tarot card shows what God wants to give us. If we
mm-hmm.
get that, it depends if we stop playing victim. You know, people who play victim, and I'm not saying you do, but people
right.
who play victim, life never changes.
Right,
and
exactly.
I don't care what the cards show. And they'll say to me, well, I didn't get anything those cards show. And I said, because you're still in victim consciousness.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, try to figure out that we have to move out of victim consciousness. There's no victims. There's only volunteers. And that we have to say, I deserve to be paid better. And if we see the writing on the wall that people are lying to us, that they should be paying us more or they shouldn't be taking away bonuses and things that they're taking away, that's when we'll stuff down too much anger.
Do you actually see my move, though?
Everything is good. Everything in your cards is good. All the changes are really good here. Again,
okay.
with your health, no matter what the diagnosis is, if we deal with our anger, even if we have cancer, and I'm not saying you do because I got a very strong health card here.
Okay.
There's nothing dealing with anger that it can't heal. When you address, and I had a woman that had fourth stage of breast cancer. She had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and she had 6 months to live, according to her doctors. And I said to her, well, we got to deal with your anger. She goes, I have no anger. And it took me 5 hours sitting with her until she finally, when I heard her childhood, I said, but you have no anger? It was
right.
a horrible childhood. And when she dealt with it, she's alive 10 years later.
Right.
Against all odds. But had she not dealt with her anger, I guarantee she would not have survived.
Okay.
So deal with your anger. Call in and let us know what's happening. I'm looking forward to seeing, I think I'm, am I going to see you in the future?
Yes, October.
Okay, I'm looking forward to seeing you. And we're just about out of time. Nicole, thank you. Denise, thank you for calling in and sharing because you help educate our listeners. Bye. Nicole, do you have a shout-out tonight?
You know what? My shout-out is to you, Cindy, because as always, you did a wonderful job, and Blog Talk was screwing me up there. I screwed up my whole computer trying to come back to Blog Talk, and then finally I got it right. So you didn't have any glitches tonight, so my shout-out
is to you. No, because they knew that this was the kind of day you give me a glitch. I'm going to cry.
Well, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the computer, and then I'm looking at Lisa, and I'm going, uh-oh, I just screwed it up. I'm like, I lost, like, because, like, I saw the outlines, and I couldn't see any of the letters to anything that I was doing. It was just outlines of boxes on my screen. I was like, I just screwed this up. I couldn't see my microphone. I couldn't see anything. So luckily, Lisa fixed it for me. So you didn't have
any problems. We love that Lisa.
What would I do without that woman? I don't know.
I don't know what the world would do without her.
Yeah, it's true.
Keep on making her music, and remember, we're off next Thursday.
Yes, ma'am. And
okay.
You have a great reading with your person, your client, next week. And Cindy, I will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you very much for everything.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.